From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called When Thieves Fall Out. In chapter 9, following the death of Gideon, his illegitimate son Abimelech had murdered all but one of Gideon's 70 legitimate sons and had proclaimed himself king. He was helped in this coup by the evil men of Shechem. Jotham, the lone survivor of the purge, employed a fable to declare God's curse upon those traitors, likening Abimelech's pact with the Shechemites to the trees of the forest, pointing a bramble to be their king. He prophesied the destruction of the trees by fire which was to come out from the bramble, and as it turned out, the prophecy came true. For the Lord sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, which ultimately resulted in Abimelech's death. Dr. Cairns is using this historical narrative to call attention to the great crime of apostasy, the characteristics of which are clearly revealed in this chapter. As Jotham invoked a curse upon Abimelech and the men of Shechem, so God has cursed the rampant apostasy of our time and calls His people to separate from it. In this final portion of the message, we'll see the consequences of apostasy, for our God is still on His throne. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Hunger Satisfied. The text is Psalm 107, verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It is well to have longings, and the more intense they are, the better. The Lord will satisfy soul longings, however great and all-absorbing they may be. Let us greatly long, for God will greatly give. We are never in a right state of mind when we are contented with ourselves and are free from longings. Desires for more grace and groanings which cannot be uttered are growing pains, and we should wish to feel them more and more. Blessed Spirit, make us sigh and cry after better things, and for more of the best things. Hunger is by no means a pleasant sensation. Yet blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Such persons shall not only have their hunger relieved with a little food, but they shall be filled. They shall not be filled with any sort of rough stuff, but their diet shall be worthy of their good Lord, for they shall be filled with goodness by Jehovah Himself. Come, let us not fret because we long and hunger, but let us hear the voice of the psalmist as he also longs and hungers to see God magnified. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men.
He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His lamb in His arm, and carry them in His bosom, in bosom, and gently shall lead those that are. He shall gather the lambs in His arms.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
true Christian will embrace sinners to give them the gospel. He'll go to Roman Catholics to seek to get them saved. To him there's no man, be he Roman Catholic or Protestant, be he Jew or Greek, be he bond or free, be he black or white or rich or poor, there is no man to whom we will not go and give the gospel. For every soul is equally immortal, therefore equally precious. But we will not embrace the system of Antichrist, which is out to replace God's rule over his people with the rule of an Abimelech. Then again, in verse 12, the vine refuses. It's very interesting about the vine. In Psalm 80, it is a picture of the redemption of the redeemed people of God. I brought a vine out of Egypt. The message is very clear. God's redeemed people, people who know the power of the blood of Christ, want no part or lot in the wicked apostasy of an Antichrist. Then the vine speaks in verse 13 of cheering God and man. Those who please God, who have a part in God's service, are not going to give it up to promote the great apostasy. But then in verse 13, or verse 14 rather, you have the bramble coming forth, or the thistle. Can't ever read about the thistle without thinking of the fall. Thorns and thistles the earth brings forth as the result of the fall. The mark of sin, the mark of the serpent, is on the great apostasy. And all who trust in it are like those who trust in the shadow of a thistle. And they will be burned with wrath and judgment. It's the message for today. There's a great crying going on. And in God's name, God's church must announce the curse of our Savior on the apostasy. That is not the language of ecumenical love. But I want to tell you, the lines of choice are drawn, and we will either stand in love for Christ and denounce his curse upon Antichrist in the Church of Rome and the harlot daughters of that harlot system in the great apostasy, and denounce the curse of God on every other exhibition of anti-Christianity, even as I believe it will finally be expressed in the person of the beast. Our call and our choice is to denounce the curse of God as his witnesses against that system, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost, we must choose never to compromise truth for peace with the apostasy. Very quickly, we have the consequence of it all in verse 22, right to the end of the chapter. Three things happened, and I like this. First, the unity of evil was divided and destroyed. When you read the 17th chapter of Revelation, you find a counterpart to what happens in Judges 9. In Judges 9, the men of Shechem and Abimelech, they were wedded together. And then God sent an evil spirit between them. And Shechem went against Abimelech, and Abimelech went against Shechem. They were divided and they were destroyed. You turn to the 17th chapter of Revelation, and you find a picture of this apostate church system headed up under Rome. You find it sitting on the back of the beast, riding to prominence and power on the back of a political entity. But when you come to the end of the chapter, you find that the very kings and nations that raised her up turned to rend her. God will yet again send an evil spirit between Abimelech and his sponsors. Then the second thing that happened was the great criminals of this apostasy were judged. The men of Shechem fell, the men of Thebes fell, then Abimelech fell. Revelation 19 and verse 20, you find the great actors in this apostasy. First, Babylon falls, the system falls, Rome falls, the beast falls, the false prophet falls. The great actors in the end time apostasy finally brought under the judgment of God. The third thing that happened was the sovereignty and truth of God were clearly asserted. He sent an evil spirit. His control even over his enemies was asserted. Let us never lose sight of that. When I talk about these gathering clouds of apostasy and sin and persecution and the hatred of an evil system against God's truth, I don't want you to be carried away with some dismal spirit. For our God is on the throne. I am a believer in what is called in prophecy futurism. I believe there's going to be a great tribulation. When the final political antichrist and the final exhibition of the false prophet under this great apostate system will together terrorize the earth. But I find in that day the greatest exhibition of the power of God since the day of Pentecost. I read of two witnesses. I thrill to read of these men. They stride up and down and they witness and they preach. They can't shut them up. They won't be shut up. They can't shoot them. They won't die. They can't burn them, for they won't burn. They can't oppose them, for they will not take any opposition. And they stand for God. And at that very time, the Spirit of God, who is not removed from the world, mark you, forget about that one. The Holy Ghost is never going to be removed from this world. He's the omnipresent God. One mistranslation of the authorized version should never be taken as the basis of a doctrine. The Holy Ghost will be so active that when the great forces and furies of anti-Christianity are stalking the earth, at that very time, God is moving to save a great company, an innumerable company, a company out of every tribe, tongue, kindred, and nation, to wash them in the blood of the Lamb. That's power for you. Our God is on the throne. And I say that because as a young fellow I heard people preaching about the end time apostasy and the coming forces of Antichrist. I heard them talk about the gathering of Romanism and Communism, and I heard them go over all the depressing details, and I was left as a teenager sitting there saying, well, here are all these great hellish forces, and here's poor us, and we're stuck here to face it all, and there's not a thing we can do, and there's no power. There's the most depressing picture. But that's not the picture of the Word of God. That's not the picture. Our God has not abdicated. His kingdom rules. There is a sense in which Christ will yet be crowned. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. But I tell you this, he is at God's right hand. He must rule until all his enemies be put under his feet. He is ruling. He's sovereign. His control is absolute. Don't get worried. There's nothing happening now, and there's nothing going to happen that will be outside the control of our God and our Savior. His wrath against sinners and their sin will be revealed, just as here. Revelation 6 ends with one of the most powerful and pathetic portions in Scripture. The kings of the earth, the great men, the captains, as well as the bondmen, and every free man, they call upon the rocks and the mountains to come and cover us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, to hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb is going to be revealed. His servant was vindicated. Jotham's curse was heard in heaven, and God fulfilled it. You stand up for Christ today, you'll be the butt of many a jest and joke. You'll be out of step with your age. You'll be out of step, sadly, at this time, even with many professing Christians. If you stand up boldly for Jesus Christ, you will have a lot to bear. But listen, judge nothing before the time. The day of vindication is at hand. The last thing we see is that his word was utterly fulfilled. The whole burden of this message is one of warning. One to alert. One to call to faithfulness. This Bible is being attacked. Its Christ is being denounced. Its gospel is being replaced. A whole system of Baal-worshipping apostasy is gathering great momentum and headed toward the consummation of which the Scripture speaks so plainly. But let us stand firm and faithful on that word, and for its Christ. Because I tell you, at the end of the day, that word will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth may pass away. My word shall never pass away. Grasp it until it gets a grip of you. Learn it and love it and live it. Preach it. Proclaim it. Spread it. Stand for it with resolution and steadfastness, out of a love for the Christ it proclaims. And at the end of the day, you'll be vindicated. God's word will be fulfilled. And Christ will reign in glory. May God help us to be faithful, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.